Good morning, and welcome to you and our radio audience. We appreciate so much your listening, and we hope that you will continue to listen for the duration of this program as we attempt to speak only those things from God's holy and inspired word. If at any time you have a question about something that's said on this program, or if you have a Bible question or a Bible subject you'd like for us to deal with on the program, please feel free to contact us at the information given by the announcer. Also, you can contact me directly by email. My address is preacher@eastalbertville.org. East Albertville is one word. Again, that address is preacher@eastalbertville.org. Also, we'd like for you to know that today begins a week-long series of gospel meetings at the East Albertville Church of Christ. We meet at 4777 U.S. Highway 431. Services this morning will be at 9:30, this evening at 5, and for Monday through Friday of this coming week, services each night will be at 7 p.m. Brother Tim Sutton will be doing the speaking for us. We urge you to come and to be with us. We will not be asking for money. We will not be coercing you in any way. We just simply would like for you to come and visit, bring your Bibles, observe the things that are being said and done, and compare that with what the Bible teaches. For we profess and claim to teach and practice only those things that are found written upon God's Word. So we hope that you'll take this invitation serious and come and be with us as Tim Sutton will be doing the preaching for us beginning this morning at 9:30. We meet together at 5 this evening and also 7 o'clock Monday through Friday. Please come and be with us. If you have your Bibles, and I always urge you to do so, we want to begin a reading in Matthew chapter 27. When morning came, all of the chief priests and elders of the people plotted against Jesus to put him to death. And when they had bound him, they led him away and delivered him to Pontius Pilate, the governor. Then Judas, his betrayer, seeing that he had been condemned, was remorseful, and brought back the 30 pieces of silver to the chief priest and the elders, saying, "I have sinned by betraying innocent blood." And they said, "What is that to us? You see to it." Then he threw down the pieces of silver in the temple and departed and went and hanged himself. But the chief priest took the silver pieces and said, "It's not lawful to put them into the treasury, because they are the price of blood." And they consulted together and bought with them the potter's field to bury strangers in. Therefore that field has been called the field of blood to this day. Then was fulfilled that which was spoken by Jeremiah the prophet, saying, "And they took the 30 pieces of silver, the value of him who was priced, whom they of the children of Israel priced, and gave them for the potter's field, as the Lord directed me." Now Jesus stood before the governor, and the governor asked him, saying, "Are you the king of the Jews?" Jesus said to him, "It is as you say." And while he was being accused by the chief priests and elders, he answered nothing. Then Pilate said to him, "Do you not hear how many things they testify against you?" But he answered him not one word, so that the governor marveled greatly. Now at the feast, the governor was accustomed to releasing to the multitude one prisoner whom they wished. And at that time they had a notorious prisoner called Barabbas. Therefore, when they had gathered together, Pilate said to them, "Whom do you want me to release to you, Barabbas or Jesus, who is called Christ?" For he knew that they had handed him over because of envy. While he was sitting on the judgment seat, his wife sent to him, saying, "Have nothing to do with that just man, for I have suffered many things today in a dream because of him." But the chief priests and elders persuaded the multitudes that they should ask for Barabbas and destroy Jesus. The governor answered and said to them, "Which of the two do you want me to release to you?" They called Barabbas. Pilate said to them, "What then shall I do with Jesus, who is called Christ?" They all said to him, "Let him be crucified." Then the governor said, "Why, what evil has he done?" But they cried out all the more, saying, "Let him be crucified." Then Pilate saw that He could not prevail at all, but rather that a tumult was rising. He took water and washed his hands before the multitude, saying, I am innocent of the blood of this just person. You see to it. And all of the people answered and said, His blood be on us and on our children. Then he released Barabbas to them, and when he had scourged Jesus, he delivered him to be crucified. We know that there were many sins that crucified Jesus. We know that what we've read here in Matthew 27 can also be read in Mark chapter 15, in Luke the 23rd chapter, and also in John chapter 19. But the interesting thing is, and what I want us to consider in our study this morning, is that the sins that crucified Jesus then are sins that are still among people today. One of those is that it's the sin of ignorance. In the 23rd chapter of Luke, in verse 34, we see that Jesus, while hanging upon the cross, said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And they parted his garment and cast lots. But we find, too, that it wasn't but just a fairly short time later, in Acts, the 3rd chapter, when Peter was preaching to another audience of people, similar to that he had preached to in Acts, the 2nd chapter, that Peter made this statement in chapter 3 and verse 17, when he said, Now, brethren, I know that through ignorance you did it, as did also your rulers. And, of course, what Peter is referring to here is to the crucifixion of our Lord. But, you know, today we have truth being rejected in ignorance. The things that Jesus taught, the things that Jesus proved by the miracles that he performed in front of the people, all of this was evidence that Jesus was speaking the truth, but still we find that they rejected it. We know that many things today that are truth are spoken against. Things like the one church that we read about in the Bible. How that baptism has a part in our salvation. All of these things are truth, but yet they are spoken against. And a lot of things that there are people who do not know because they simply do not look into the scriptures with an open heart, along with an open Bible, and receive God's word with meekness, because only in that way is it able to save our souls. So we know that a lot of people is doing things today simply because of a lack of knowledge, and that's what we mean by ignorance. But also, not only was the sin of ignorance a sin that crucified Jesus, but also the sin of hatred toward that which was good. You know, the Bible says in Acts 10 and verse 38, remarking concerning Jesus, how that God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. See, Jesus went about doing good. And we know that Jesus issued a challenge on one occasion in John chapter 10 when they were about to stone him. In John 10 and verse 32, Jesus answered them, How many good works have I showed you from my Father? For which of these works do you stone me? So we see then that Jesus was hated for the good works that he did. And we find also in John chapter 15, notice it says in verse 18, If the world hates you, you know that it hated me before it hated you. And it goes on to instruct his disciples that if you were of the world would love his own. But because you are not of the world, but I have chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hates you. So we see then that all this Jesus did, and yet it brought hatred toward him. So it was the sin of hatred that also crucified Christ. And so it is today when it is that we try to teach people the truth of God's word. It's like what Paul said, if I become your enemy because I tell you the truth. Sometimes we have people who result in hating us because of the things that we teach from God's Word. So evil opposes good, and those that love evil hate good. We know that Jesus said in John 3 and verse 19 that this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light because their deeds are evil. So truly, the sin of hatred toward that which is good crucified our Lord, and it is still very much alive today. Then too, we see that religious prejudice put Jesus to the cross as well. We know that the Jews were religious. We know that when they took their ancestry from Abraham and, of course, took their pride in the law of Moses, these were the things that they could not put out of their minds to realize that what Jesus was teaching was concerning a kingdom that was not going to be theirs just simply because they were of the physical lineage of Abraham. And it was not going to be a kingdom that was going to be ruled by the law that God gave to Moses on Mount Sinai to give to the children of Israel. So being religious, they could not release their thoughts and their ideas to envelop the things that Jesus was teaching, to receive the kingdom that he was proclaiming here upon this earth. So we see that the sin of prejudice is also available today. Are we open-minded concerning what the scriptures teach? Or is it that we still hold to some of the things that caused rejection of Jesus back in his day? There were people who thought that Jesus was going to be another Moses, that he was going to come and he was going to relieve the oppressed Jews from Roman oppression, just as Moses had delivered the children of Israel from Egyptian bondage. They thought that he was going to be a literal king and sit upon the literal throne of David. And so with him going about providing food miraculously, healing people of their sicknesses miraculously, that he was going to be able to provide them all of the physical things that they need. So they were looking for a physical savior, a physical deliverer that could take care of all of their physical needs upon this earth. So all of these things were things that they had in their minds, but these were the things that prevented them from accepting the truth in the matter, that Jesus was the Son of God, his kingdom was not of this earth, his kingdom was not meat and drink, but rather it was a spiritual kingdom, and that regardless of what country or what nation or what government that we live under, we are to be submissive to those in authority over us, but we are members of a higher kingdom, a kingdom that is not of this earth, a spiritual kingdom. So we see then that prejudice, religious prejudice, is one of the sins that crucified our Lord, and it is still a sin that is very much present today. Then, too, there was the sin of envy. We know that there were those on many occasions that sought to kill Jesus. They did it through trickery. They did it through sometimes very subtle means. In Matthew chapter 26 in verse 4, it said that they consulted that they might take Jesus by subtlety and kill him, because at this point in time, the multitudes had not been so blinded by the leaders to the point that for the leaders to take matters into their hands and crucify Jesus, that would certainly put them at odds with the people. So now, at this point in the life of Jesus, they're taking counsel as to how that they can do this sort of in an underhanded way where that, you know, the fingers would not all necessarily be pointing at them. In fact, remember in what we read earlier in the beginning of our study in Matthew 27, Pilate, the governor that Jesus appeared before, Pilate knew that it was for envy that Jesus had been delivered unto him. Let's read that verse again in Matthew 27 and verse 18. For he, that is Pilate, knew that for envy they had delivered him. So here were chief priests, scribes, those that were in positions of authority, those that were in positions of influence, And yet they're seeing that Jesus is being able to draw disciples unto him. And the more disciples that Jesus had is the fewer disciples that they had to be in control over. So it was because of envy. And we all know how certainly dangerous that power can be. It's something that many men and women crave, and there is no end to what they're willing to do in order to obtain power. So here were those that were seeing they were losing their power, their influence. And so they turned against Jesus out of envy, and when they brought him before Pilate, this was so evident that even Pilate recognized it. But we know, too, that the sin of envy is one of those works of the flesh that we find spoken about in Galatians chapter 5, beginning with verse 19, that the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, and there in that list is envy, murders, debate. And then the list goes on, but then it says, and such like. But in the list of all of this, it says, and they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. So the sin of envy is a work of the holy, is a work of the works of the flesh. And religious prejudice certainly grows out of envy. In James chapter 3 and verse 16, James says, where envy and strife is, confusion and every evil work. So truly the sin of envy put our Lord on the cross, and it is the sin of envy that is still very much with us today. But also there was the sin of the love of money. We know that Judas was the one who betrayed Jesus for money. In Matthew chapter 26 and verse 14, then one of the 12, called Judas Iscariot, went unto the chief priest. And there we know how that he bargained with them to, if they would give him 30 pieces of silver, he would point out and deliver Jesus into their hands that he could be arrested. And so it was that Judas betrayed our Lord for money. It's in 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 10. It says, for the love of money is the root of all evil, which while some coveted after, they erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. This is a verse that's so very often misquoted. Many people think that money is the root of all evil. But there's nothing wrong with money in and of itself. But what this verse would have us to understand is that it is our love for money that is the root of all kinds of evil. So we see then that people today can be even made to quit serving the Lord for the love of money. Sometimes the gospel is perverted because of the money that may be involved in it. And truly, many people have sold their souls for the love of money. We sometimes refer to our nation as the God of our nation being the almighty dollar. And for the most part, I don't have any doubts in that. Truly, we are a money-obsessed society. And with so many, there's nothing that they will not do when it is that money is involved. And so we sell our souls for money. We work when we ought to be worshiping. We play the lottery. We gamble as a form of recreation when these things are clearly contrary to the will of God. And so it is then that as money played a factor in the crucifixion of our Lord, money is still very much a factor in the lives and what people do and what people are willing to do in our world today. But then too, there was the sin of lying that was involved. When Jesus was first brought before the Jewish council, we find in Matthew chapter 26, it says in verse 59, now the chief priests and the elders and all of the council sought false witness against Jesus to put him to death, but found none. Yea, though many false witnesses came, yet found they none. At the last came two false witnesses. Isn't this amazing? That here in this council of what otherwise is recognized as a religious group of individuals serving on this council, Jesus is brought before them. And there's nothing of a truthful charge that could ever be levied against our Lord. All of the charges of being a gluttonous and a wine bibber and casting out devils by the power of Beelzebub, all of those charges were false. None of them could be substantiated. And now, here that they finally have him arrested and brought before the Jewish council, they're having to come up with a charge. And in order for there to be a charge, there has to be two or three witnesses. Well, the problem with false witnesses is you can't get the testimony to agree. And so here they go through who knows how many until they finally are able to find two false witnesses that somehow coincidentally say the same thing. Although it was false, it was a lie. And yet it was a false witness that was brought before them. And we find that this is what the charge resulted in, that they charged our Lord with blaspheming when he said that he could destroy this temple and restore it again in 3 days. They knew full well that Jesus was talking about his body, that it had nothing to do with the physical structure of the temple that was in Jerusalem, but again, through lies and false witnesses, that's what they made it out to be. So it is then that it was on another occasion that even after that Jesus was resurrected and the tomb of Joseph was empty, that they wanted to make out like that Jesus had not raised from the dead. They did not want that report to get started. So when we read in Matthew chapter 28, what we read in verse 12 is that when they were assembled with the elders and had taken counsel, they gave large sums of money to the soldiers. And verse 15 says, so they took the money and did as they were taught. And this saying is commonly reported among the Jews unto this day. And the saying was that his disciples had come and stole the body. Now think about that. Here are soldiers that are posted at the tomb. And what they are willing to do is to degrade themselves for the sake of money that they're going to obtain to say that they had fallen asleep. You know, that would be almost enough to get a soldier court-martialed. But here they were willing, for the money that was involved, to say, yep, we went to sleep, and while we were asleep, his disciples came and stole him from the tomb. So truly, the sin of lying is a sin that was very prevalent in the time of our Lord. It was a sin that crucified our Lord. And it's a sin that's still very much alive today. And then there's the sins of moral weakness. You know, Pilate knew that Jesus was innocent. There in Luke chapter 23, as we read a moment ago, he knew that it was for envy that they had brought Jesus unto him. So he knew that there was nothing guilty of Jesus that was worthy of death. So Pilate knew that Jesus was innocent. He had the authority to release Jesus. We see that in Luke 23 in his account. But even though he had the desire to do so, and on several occasions he sought the opportunity to release Jesus, yet he was weak. And like so many in the political world, he knew that to rebel against the wishes of the people would cause him problems. And so what did he do? He yielded to the will of the people, knowing full well that Jesus was innocent. He could have acted firmly, but he didn't. He sacrificed his principle. And friends, this too is a sin that is very, very common today. That for whatever the reason, sometimes in the situations that we get ourselves into, we sacrifice our principles. We know what's right. We know what we ought to do. But we sacrifice all of that to save face, just like Pilate did. So in all of these sins, and of course there are others, not to be meaning that all of these are all of the sins that crucified our Lord, but these sins and others will cause us to miss heaven. If we don't have those that we have not repented of, that we've acknowledged before God and we've asked according to His will to be forgiven, all of these sins, each one individually, can cause us to be lost. That's why we need to have our sins forgiven. We need to hear God's word as to what God would have us to do. That will produce faith, because faith comes by the hearing of God's word, John 17:17 and Romans 10:17. God's word is truth. We need to be willing to know that the truth is what we need to hear to produce the faith that will be pleasing unto God. But that faith that will be pleasing to God is not a faith that will just believe, but it's a faith that will obey. And so we must confess with our mouth that Christ is the Son of God. We must repent of our sins, because that's what the blood of Christ does. It cleanses us from our sin. And we must be come in contact with the blood of Christ. And we do that according to Romans 6, when we are buried with Christ in baptism. We can have our sins forgiven. And friends, this is one of the reasons that the church at East Albertville is having this series of gospel meetings that begins today at 9:30. We'd like for you to come and to hear the gospel preached. We have all confidence in Brother Sutton that he will speak those things that are in harmony and in truth, the word of God. And so this morning at 9:30, this evening at 5, and for the rest of the week, Monday through Friday, you'll have an opportunity to hear the gospel preached at 7 o'clock each evening. Again, we won't ask you for money. We won't ask you to do anything. You won't be coerced. You'll be a guest. You'll be cordially invited and respected and appreciated for your willingness to come. Just simply bring your Bibles and hear the things that are being said, see the things that are being done, and compare that with what the Scriptures teach. Accept only what the Scriptures teach. That's what we only profess to do. We see our time is gone. We appreciate so much your listening. We hope that you'll tune in again tomorrow. Until then, we bid you a pleasant good day, and now we return you to our announcer.